Hello, I am Palesa Manaleng. You are listening to my top 10 at 10.
On the street, on the A.
I'm hanging out with Palesa Manaleng. So already we are there by the manicure there. Manalasha.
Kilinal.
Olenal. Now, when you say Nizala Ngubani, and looking at what you have been through, was there a moment where this came to your mind to say, I must remember who am I and where I come from, or at least the tree I was born from?
At all times. At the most difficult times when I feel like I'm drowning. How can I be suffering? It's about where I come from. The people who came before me are stronger than I am.
Who's that? Was it a matriarch? Was it a patriarch? Who was that for you?
Baba Manaleng ka papa.
You know?
Yeah. Ke papa. But ke rudishitse ke bra mogobotla. Ai, ke ra go botlana.
Yeah.
So I was raised by my mother's side of the family.
Yes.
Firstborn. You know, firstborn.
Yeah.
Ngwanakoko. And when my parents moved from Limpopo to Witbank for Mereko.
Yes. Malahle.
Hey. They took me to go live with them.
Yeah.
So that would just keep my mali papa.
Yes.
And they're still in Witbank.
Oh, okay.
But you know, I'm always very proud of where I come from. I'm proud of how my mother's side of the family raised me. With love. I was raised by my uncles and my grandmother.
Oh, okay.
My mother was the only daughter.
Oh, hardy.
And then at home, I'm the firstborn daughter.
Yes.
Of four kids. Three girls, one boy.
Okay.
Kind of situation. And when things go back, I always look to my grandmother who's still alive.
She's still alive?
My grandmother's still alive.
How young?
My grandmother is 38. She's 88 this year.
No way.
She's 88 this year.
How blessed are you?
Oh, I'm very blessed. I can still pick up the phone. Don't worry. What is happening? No, so. Pilaka, so. The heart heals. You know, get up.
Pick yourself up. Yeah.
You know, kind of situation. And also, exam kri, boom, ma baron. And the relevant technology. WhatsApp, I know maybe you're busy, but this and this happened. My mother is a prayer warrior. My grandmother is a prayer warrior. You know, but my mother will send me a prayer.
Yeah.
You know, sharp, skawa. You know, so this song that is playing reminds me that the people who came before, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, they... I mentioned the mothers.
I'm busy loading a gun here. Don't worry.
I was raised by strong women.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. This is why I'm a strong woman.
That's right.
So, burakholu, you know, it's unfortunate.
Now, your love for sports, where does that come from?
And I believe in my heart of hearts that for my mother's womb, I was an athlete.
Is it something in the family? Or just you?
My mother used to play tennis, you know, but not, no one really played sports the way that I did. I played provincial hockey. I played club soccer. I played soccer from... Remember when Eskom used to have clubs? When Eskom used to have money?
Yeah.
They used to have...
They used to have money.
I'm sorry. Am I throwing shade? I'm sorry.
No, you... After that, she said shade.
I'm sorry.
Top strike. I don't think there's any other apt statement ever spoken. Yes.
My father used to work for Duva Power Station. I used to play soccer for Duva Power Station. You know, so I just, for me, sports, it's like breathing, man. You know, sports saved my life in so many ways.
Yeah.
Yes, it took my legs, but it saved my life in so many ways. The friends that I had growing up.
Yeah.
If we look at the friends that I grew up in my street, Witbank, I'm not going to mention names. Some have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Some are in prison.
Mm.
Some are in drugs. I was at hockey camps. I was at soccer camps.
Ah.
That's what saved me. Because it had not been for that. We hanged out together. We did everything together.
Yeah.
You know, but the sports, like, I want to hang out with you guys, but I've got soccer practice. I want to come back. So that saved my life. And even after my cycling accident, sports saved my life.
So now, from hockey to sports, you get into cycling.
Yes. So from soccer, from hockey to swimming, I get into cycling when I moved to Joburg. To start working in Joburg as a journalist.
Okay.
And I get into cycling and I'm thinking, you know what? We grew up riding bikes, man, in the township.
Yeah.
We know how to ride bikes. You know how to take them. You know how to strip them. So why not compete? People are competing. Let me train for the 947 cycle challenge.
What?
And then I'm training for that, but the one day that I'm not cycling out of my neighborhood, and I'm just cycling like literally 5 streets away from where I live in West Dean.
Yes.
The brakes of my bike fail, and I'm going on a steep down road. Hit the pavement, fly into the Palisade fence at the UJ Rugby Stadium. Snapped the spine, shattered a shoulder, broke ribs, those ribs punctured my lung, head injury. I was paralyzed at the seat, but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that I was paralyzed at all. My main concern at that time is when I want to take my bike, you know? And I keep telling people, just help me stand up, guys. Help me stand up so I can take my bike home. The rest I'll sort when I get home. But no one is talking to me. They're talking around me. And one of the guys there is my current landlord. He was my landlord at the time.
Yes.
And he says to them, don't touch her. Don't give her water, because I'm asking for water. Do not move her. Just let her. I'm just in my head. I'm like, this guy, where does he come from giving instructions? He doesn't know me. Don't touch her.
How did he get to the scene? Who called him?
So, Westin's got a community WhatsApp group.
Yes.
So the guy who lives opposite the rugby stadium had the bang, and he thought it was a car, but it was me. Because I was coming full speed from a downhill. He had the bang. He came running out. There's no car. I'm lying there. The bike is lying there. And then he went to the WhatsApp group, and then people gathered. And that's how my current landlord ended up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he spots you, says, whatever you do,
do not touch this person at all.
And then
he's like to me, I'm conscious. Right? And he says, who can we call? And the last person I spoke to before I went for the ride was my friend Unuzu. Mm. And the last thing I said to her was like, you know what? I'm going to steal flowers from you outside people's yards, because I know she loves flowers.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal them.
Palace are stealing flowers.
You know, I was like, don't worry. She's like, okay. So I'm like, no Zug. And I'm like, my phone is in my pocket, and they get it in the collar, and I can hear her voice. And she's laughing. She's like, that fool probably broke her leg. I'm going to just take her to the hospital. And you know, I can hear
her. Yeah.
And she approaches and she looks at me. She keeps quiet. I'm like, and then why are you quiet? She's like, my friend, we need to wait for an ambulance. I'm like, why? Just take me to the hospital, then we can come back later. She's like, no, we must wait for the ambulance. I'm like, why are you being difficult? Let's take the bike.
Are you not in pain?
No. The funniest thing is, you don't feel.
Sure,
I think it's the shock.
Yes.
I think your body's in shock. Because also,
guys, the body is an amazing machine. It protects you from yourself.
And I thought I was sweating. I didn't know I was bleeding from the head, because I was wearing a helmet. So also I want to wipe the sweat, but I can't lift my arms. I can't move. I'm getting irritated and frustrated, but no one wants to move me. No one wants to give me water. No one wants to wipe the sweat. And the paramedic, when they come, they say to Unos, please hold her head so she doesn't panic. And what am I panicking for? everyone's talking around me, but no one's talking to me.
Yes.
And the paramedic's like, we're going to put you in the ambulance. And I'm like, oh, these people. And they put me in the ambulance. Now I'm tired. And the thing about the body, you want to sleep.
Yeah.
So I want to sleep now. And they said to her, make sure this person does not sleep. Talk to her. So now has me telling me, she says to me, tell me stories. I'm like,
is she not crying? Are you not seeing panic in her eyes?
I can see in her eyes there's panic. But she's not crying. She's just talking to
she's
me.
She's just being strong for you.
For me.
Wow. No.
And she's not telling me what is wrong. She's just saying to me, tell me stories. I'm like, tell you stories. Like, tell me about the flowers you want to steal. Where did you see them? So we just, we're talking about everything.
Yes.
So I would, and every time, every now and again, I'm like, no, so let me rest. Like, no, don't close your eyes. Tell me another story. I'm like, no, I've told you these stories. Like, no, but tell me again.
Mm.
I'm like, okay. And I tell, tell her the story. And I'm like, okay, now let's take a break. She said, no, no, no. And on that day, because I lived near Helen Joseph,
yeah,
for some odd reason, that day, the ambulances were not being allowed at Helen Joseph. They were being turned back. We got turned back.
What?
Yeah. We got turned back. And the paramedic said, the nearest hospital is Joburg Gen. When you get there, she says to Nose, you tell them the accident was nearby.
Yeah, you don't say.
Yes.
Because then they're going to send you back.
And then they've already sent us away.
Yay.
For some odd reason, right? And I think actually it was a blessing that I was sent to Joburg Gen. Because of the experience I had there, it was, yeah, so brilliant.
Yeah.
And we get there, and I spent the night, the lights are on, people are touching me, I'm irritable. But when I came out of hospital, Noel said it was 3 days that I was in the emergency room, not being operated on. I thought it was a day.
Wait a minute. Balesa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm talking to a paracyclist, journalist, Balesa Manaleng, if you just joined in. So you are in the emergency room,
yes,
Joburg Gen. Mm. You are not operated or attended to for 3 days. Mm. This is public health, by,
yes,
the way. Which year is this?
This is 2014, September 10, when I had an accident.
We are in power. Just say.
Yep.
And?
And so Noz calls, because I'm in media at that time. So she goes on my phone and she calls the people on my phone and she calls my former bosses. So I used to work at the Wits Justice Project.
Yes.
So she calls my former bosses at Wits, because Wits, the students train at Joburg Gen, and they make it happen. I go have my operation.
Vetsies support each other.
And I love
come,
it.
Come
I'm
on.
Grateful.
I'm a Vetsy.
Oh, okay.
In terms of, sorry, I'm a business school Vetsy.
Oh. No, you ask Chi-Chi and UJ people proudly. I'm just saying.
Yes.
So, and then I get operated on, and I'm in ICU for a couple of days. And then I moved into the spine ward. But the spine ward is also like where they come and do hip replacements. It's a public hospital.
Yes.
Hip replacements and knee replacements. So in that ward, I'm the most critical person at that time.
Hmm.
And I get a special bed. It's like a vibrating bed, so you don't get bed sores.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Because you're just sitting still.
I can't move, I can't do anything. They just operated on me. They had to put what they call fusion. So, like, the chip on my spine.
Yeah.
So, that to fuse my
rubber corp.
Ah, nagis corp. I've got that like when I walk through medic. Smarrow, party.
Okay, sorry.
So yeah,
now you're fused.
Now I'm fused. I still can't. You know, from the accident scene, but I don't know. I still don't know that I'm disabled, right? The doctors keep coming in, and professors, and one of them keeps asking me, "Move your toes," and I'm like, "I'm moving them." You know, and he's irritating me because every day he comes and he says, "Move your toes," and I'm telling this guy, "I'm moving my toes." Gandhi, which toes are we talking about?
Mm.
And then after...
Are you having the function of your hands at this time?
My hands are...
Are back.
My hands are working.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's the legs that are not... That.
Because remember at the accident, you couldn't even couldn't even wipe sweat.
Yes. I was just lying there.
Yes.
Now the arms are... They feel heavy, but they're working. He keeps checking my... And then after a couple of days, he says, "Ish, you're disabled." And I'm like, okay. And he says, you may never walk again. I'm like, okay. That was my response. Okay. It doesn't hit home. Okay. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I say, okay. It is only a few days later when I'm trying to, because you have to continuously drink water in the hospital.
That's right.
And they've got a water bottle and they've put it against my chest and I'm sipping water and it falls. You're immediate.
Yeah.
Reflex.
Come on.
Is to sit up.
And go get it.
And go get it. Did I not? I can't get up. I can't move. I can't get. That's when I realized what he meant. And that's when I cried.
That's the first tear you drop from the moment of the accident. Mm-hmm. You getting into theater, mm-hmm. getting into ICU, mm-hmm. now being awake, mm-hmm. even speaking to professors. Mm-hmm. This is the first time.
This is the first time.
The realization hits.
That's it.
Who's around you? Who's there by your bedside?
It's not visiting hours yet, right? Oh. So it's just me and the other patients. Excuse me. And Noz, out of nowhere. It's not visiting hours. Nozugo, out of nowhere, walks in and I'm crying. She says, Obani.
Can you call Noz? I need to speak to Noz. Guys.
And she's like, which of the nurses is it? And I'm like, Noz, I'm never going to walk again. And I can see her just going, you know, like
relief. Because finally, you're being told something she couldn't tell you. Maybe?
Like, a balloon has been deflated. Like, you know? Because this whole entire time I've been upbeat because I've been, it had not, now I'm crying. Like, I'm not nice tears. Like, I'm hysterically crying. Like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
never going to walk again. And she climbs on the bed, the hospital bed. And she lies next to me and she just holds me. And I cry and I cry. And afterwards, when I'm, now I'm just hiccuping. She's like, if not you, then who? Please tell me one person that you think should be where you are.
Oh, no.
And I said to her, I don't have a name. I don't even think I'd wish this on anyone. And she's like, okay. So what I want you to do is to cry. Cry it all out. And then get up.
Tata knows.
Because you're not going to sit where you are. No one's going to cry these tears for you. Do you hear me, DJ? And look. Yes, she's like, okay. And she holds me and we lie there for a while. And you can see the nurses peeking in to see. Because she's on the hospital bed of a patient.
Yes.
But also they don't know what to say.
But again, something stops them from intervening.
Yes.
Because they could have just said, hey, Sissy, get her up.
Yeah. And we just lay there for a while. We just, you know, until visiting hours. And then actually my cousin, Dumi, captures the picture of Noz on the bed. It's on my Facebook.
Yeah.
So she's lying on the bed next to me.
Please find her on Facebook. That is Palesa.
It's DJ Manaling.
DJ Manaling on Facebook. And DJ is in DEEJAY.
Danko.
That's right. Find her and want to see that picture.
So it was just like, ooh. So there was the moment that I realized, you know, the legs are gone.
After this, I want us to go into you mm-hmm. getting back on the bike. Dion Ferry is hopeless, like a panty with a hole in it. Oh, sorry.
Like a penny. Can't wanna be pen to the jack, guy.
Oh, penny.
Hmm.
I want to check the lyrics. What's wrong?
Let me double check. Mara penty.
Oh, mara. Okay.
Googly guy.
Okay, mara. If it's got a hole in it, is it still? It's hopeless. How are you gonna use it? Still applies, no?
Mara, oh, yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, okay. I'm not down.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
It's like a paint with a hole. It's okay.
And then after all of this, you get back on the bike.
I do.
After how long?
I was discharged from hospital 31st December. 31 December.
Of that very year?
Yes.
So you spent how many months there?
It's from September.
Yeah. I mean, just 2 days in hospital
is a lot.
Yeah.
Is a lot. I was there long enough to know all the nurses by name at that time and the shifts. That's how long I was there. But yeah.
And then you get back on the bike?
I get on the bike. By Feb, I was back on the bike.
Never.
Because by May, I was at the World Cup.
You were at the Paralympics World Cup.
At the Paracycling World Cup.
Paracycling World Cup. What's the difference?
between Paralympics and paracycling.
Yes.
So the Paralympics is where all, it's not the Olympics.
The Olympics.
Yes.
Okay.
The Paralympics is the Olympics.
And the paracycling?
It's like a cycling competition, but a World Cup any cyclist, but for us disabled individuals.
So you're using your hands instead of feet?
Yes. So in my category, I didn't go to the category, Jeff Papafaban.
Okay.
In my category, I hand cycled. So I'd use my hands. And your hand, there's an H1 to H5.
Okay.
With H1, the H is for hand cycling. The one is the level of disability.
Yes.
So the one would say, inverted commas, the weakest.
Okay.
And the fives, H5s are the strongest.
Yes.
So an H5 would be, if you know cycling, Ernest van Dijk, who's a double amputee.
Yes.
Stomach muscles, you understand?
Yeah.
And then from the H4s down, you start losing stomach muscles. And I'm an H3. Start losing the stomach muscles, Jalo. And the bikes define how they set it up for you.
Yes.
Because all the different heights and
that's right.
Yes. And you power it with your hands.
Yes.
So it's a bicycle, but you power it with your hands and you compete like that.
With
Have you seen these arms?
Yay. I beg you won. I hugged. So then I'm fascinated by why going back onto cycling.
I had unfinished business. I had unfinished business. You know, I had started cycling and I had a plan in my head, and then I had the accident. So in my head, I had unfinished business and I had to finish that business. So I went back into cycling. It was not easy.
I can imagine.
Because we don't manufacture.
And it's even more expensive.
It is even more expensive. Because also we don't manufacture hand cycles in South Africa. So I had to write emails, to companies. And you know Nondo?
Yes.
You know Nondo?
Oh, no, Nons. Nons is our social media queen.
Thank you. She was part of the team that got me my first hand cycle. That's how long I've known. She knew me when I could barely sit in my wheelchair. Because you have to, you know.
How? Nons! Hey, Nons! The behind the scenes queen.
First hand cycle. The first year when I was learning how to ride the bike and they were taking me to competition, she was part of the team. To go see the hand cycle for the first time, Gamatlowak, she was there with me. To purchase that hand cycle. When I did my first 947 cycle race that year.
So you entered with the hand cycle?
I did and I finished it.
Were you the only one?
There are others who take part. It's not a big group, but
and they'll allow it, yeah.
Yes. And you leave early at 5 in the morning and you do the full 947, you know, and you come back. And leading up to the 947, I did a couple of races, the shortest being 42K and the longest being, there used to be a thing called the dome to dome, which was like 110K. And they handled all that. And I went and I trained, and I used to train with Brabit, who has passed away.
Yes.
He used to take me to Mulder's Drift
and train with those hills.
Yes. And the first time he took me there and I was going downhill, he had to come and block the hand cycle because I was panicking. Because it's the first time that I'm going downhill and I got hurt going downhill.
Yes. Now the fear is coming back.
I'm hyperventilating and I'm crying and I'm like, Pete, get me out. And he sits down and he says, you wanted this, didn't you? And I said, yes. And so I said, let's finish it. You can break the whole way, but we're finishing this and we're coming back tomorrow. So let's do this. And he wiped my tears and we went. And the first day I cried, and the third day, make it papa. Because I was feeling more
DJ's
confident.
Back.
Yeah, I was feeling more confident now. He's like, slow down. You must break with the game. It's rapid. You know? But the first 2 days, it was so scary. It was so scary. And I was thinking, I'm going to crash. But I didn't crash. I actually crashed 3 years later.
Because I was about to ask, I'm sure you had a fall.
I flipped in it 2 years late because I was going too fast. But even when I flipped in it on that day, I just laughed it off. Because by then I was okay. But I think if I had flipped in it the first 2 days, I would have stopped.
Yes.
So only 3 days later, I mean 3 years later, I was like...
Was that a Robocop when you flipped this thing?
Yes.
You still have fusions in your body?
You have it for the rest of your life. You know.
Hi.
It's in. It's
when now, holding, when it's holding your spine. Do you fly? Today. Because I'm sure also Anjuma was scared. They go
get my I fly, bro.
Tweet, motivating. Oh my word!
Yeah. So yeah, in I competed, and I had the honor of representing South Africa.
Yes, you did.
A few times,
like three
World Cups,
three World Cups,
three
yes.
World Cups, and because of the cycling, I got a sports scholarship at UJ. You know, so it was like things were just happening.
Do you think this was destiny?
It was. It has to be, but Dimakalimudimu were just like, this is where you're meant to be. It was. Sports scholarship, got to travel outside of the country for the first time, outside, you know, overseas, was representing my country. Being able, you know what? Besides that, I know, for me, my favorite moment was going to competitions as a black disabled woman and having the paramedics or who pick up the paper, stopping and saying, how?
As in, this gender.
As in,
our people
can also hand cycle. That always gave me so much pride to sit and have them ask questions. So how does this thing work? Do you have them say, you know, Renalong wano disabled guy, but we always hide it. Then I'm like, no, guys, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Then we have full-on conversations. And, about why it's wrong. And I was like, and ask them, why do they do it? You know, I know, you know, culturally, disability, and do I have those conversations? And do I have them ask questions about hand cycling? For me to also say, what's again? Also, by the way, don't forget to send your child to school. Because they'll be like, but you're wrong. You must send them to school because when you pass away, who's going to take care of the disabled child? Because you took away opportunities for them, because you're afraid of what society is going to say about them. Because you feel ashamed about who they are, and in turn make them feel ashamed about who they are. How dare you?
They are fully human. Let them be.
Let them be.
Give them all the opportunities in this world, and they will grab whatever works for them.
Because the more that we are seen in society, the more accessible society becomes. It is very hard to change the
you
older generation.
No. That part was kafita fela.
Oh, ask
you. You must say it again. The more what?
The more they see us in society, the more accessible society becomes. Thank you.
Sure. Yes, girl, I hear you.
Because you can't change what you don't see. You can't imagine disability. You can't read about it in the book. You need to see it. You need to talk to the people who are experiencing it. Right? And also, you can have one person speak on behalf of all disabilities because the disability are its one.
That's right. Listen, we are multicultural like that.
So, you cannot say, DJ in your wheelchair, please speak on behalf of the blind. How dare you? Because how do I speak on behalf of people on a disability that I know nothing about? Right? And also, I cannot speak on behalf of people who are born disabled because I acquired my disability at the age of 27. Their experiences is completely different from mine.
That's right.
Because a lot of them, when they're born disabled, they're hidden away. They're denied opportunities. They have access to nothing. A huge majority have never been to school, have access to nothing. And you want me to speak on their behalf. Why don't you go ask them what their needs are?
Oh.
Why don't you give them a platform to say what they need to be changed? Why don't you make the schools accessible? Because if a kid is born in Soweto in a wheelchair and there's a school opposite them, and instead of putting a ramp, you say to the child, you can't access the schools because there's no ramp.
Put a ramp.
When I school long. Yes, there are disabilities where they need special schools.
Yes.
But
others?
An amputee? What DJ got the wheelchair? Guys, come on.
We'll be right back.
Yes.
Hey, Prati. This is the very, very first time that this song by Dion Ferris has made sense to me. And just listening to it and listening to her story. Oh, wow. It's such an inspiration.
Indeed. I'm inspired beyond measure. I told you. After today, you're going to realize it is possible. Why? Because DJ Palesama Naleng is here. I want to go to now you winning that paracycling event, mm-hmm. now coming back home. It is still not enough for you because you still felt, I'm a trained journalist, I need a way to tell the story one way or the other.
So yeah, I mean, I've always been a journalist, right?
Yeah.
And for me, the win was not always just for me. It was for the kids who were never given an opportunity to take part in sports.
Yeah.
You know, when... Just to be honest, before I had my disability, I knew nothing about disabilities.
Yes.
I was ignorant.
Yes.
Right. And yeah. then when I became disabled...
And most of us are.
Yes. So let me not sit here and give it as if...
Yeah.
Yeah, nerve. No, 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 no. You know?
Fair.
I learned as my days went on. And that is why also I write so many stories about access and disability mm-hmm. and our needs. Because I realize that there's a huge vacuum. There's like space where people write about us when it's National Autism Day.
Oh,
or
yeah.
National, you know. Yes, thank you for that. But we've got lives outside of that.
Mm.
I'm disabled 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're talking about VAT, how does that impact people's disabilities? When you're talking about elections, how does that impact people's disabilities?
Load shedding.
You understand? Mm. The people use electric chairs, you know, and that's their way to move. And they need to be charged.
What about that lift?
The lifts. There's issues like that. There's people who use breathing machines.
That's right.
You know, so as much as everyone else issues, we also have those issues. So let's not package it as if there's special days for us that we are only we
it's
only
an every day.
You understand? So I make sure I try my best to write stories about everything at all times, about athletes, you know, about sexual health.
Oh yes,
you know, because trying to access sexual health as a person with disabilities, you'll be asked, "How can you have sex? How guys? Are we not human beings? You know." I mean, if we Google now, can we find a stat for how many people with disabilities have HIV? Is there a different stat for that? If we go to the police station now, can we find out how many people with disabilities have reported a crime? GBV, right? Because if we are locking people behind closed doors, just stay with me. I'm disabled. Linkela closed doors. I don't leave the house. I don't get anywhere, but I'm keep getting pregnant. How am I getting pregnant?
Mm.
Right? I've never left the house.
And you're underage.
And I'm underage. I don't know where to report. I don't know who to report to. And I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I'm a child. I'm trusting that my family is doing
this
right.
Because stats will therefore say mm-hmm. a percentage of our population is living with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Now, can this correspond to cases reported mm-hmm. in police stations? Mm-hmm. Do we have cases in hospitals and so on? I'm with you.
You understand?
Wow.
And are we sure about the stats that they're giving if Batu are being hidden?
Uh-oh.
I'm asking, you know, if you go to the villages and the townships, there are people who grow up and die with disabilities that you've never seen. So are we sure about those stats of people with disabilities?
Should there be
country?
A law against that?
There should be a law.
Enforceable by local authorities.
Yes. Understand? Because also, why is there such... Okay, let's a huge number of people with disabilities that are not in schools. There's a number. You give me a number. Let's say you're saying there's 1 million people with disabilities in South Africa with...
Do we have 1 million in schools?
Exactly. Why are they not in schools? Why are they not in workspaces? Here at Kaya, how many people do you have with disabilities working in this workspace? You understand? So in universities, how many are going through to universities? Again, you're saying there's 1 million. Why am I not seeing people in universities, in high schools, in workspaces, as packers, sitting with party on radio station, on TV? Where are they? This million that you're telling me that we have.
Mm.
Where are you getting the stats?
Is that a parastatal obligation? Where is the private sector in this?
There's another. Where are they in this? Right? I think there's a. There's an incentive that some that the government gives to private companies would need to double check that to hire people with disabilities, right? My problem is learnerships. There's nothing that grades me like learnerships, because if the government says, I'm giving an example, we'll give you 50 cents every time you put a person with a disability in a learnership, instead of hiring them after that, you recycle them in these learnerships.
Because you're looking at the 50 cents.
You understand? And learnerships end at a certain age, at 35. So after 35, as then a person with a disability, must go back to the grant now. Whereas you could have absorbed this person, trained them up properly, and included them within your company. That means there's one less person who's relying on the disability grant. There is one less person that a taxpayer has to take care of. Right? And you're taking away this person's dignity.
And access.
And access to the most basic things. Because now I can no longer afford to buy myself food. I must buy with the grant. And disability is expensive, because disability is not just sitting on your chair. People have multiple disabilities. People need to buy catheters. You understand?
Need
to buy...
And yet you're grouped.
And then that money, depending on where, what situation my family home has.
Yes.
That disability grant goes to feeding them.
Yeah.
And wheelchairs are expensive, right? So now we cannot afford, and you can't just give people wheelchairs. You need to know what their disabilities are and give people, you know, adaptive gear anyways.
That's right.
According to their disability. But now, because I'm taking disability grant, so we not die of hunger. You cannot get me a wheelchair, meaning I cannot access school, meaning I can't go to work, meaning, you see where it goes. I can't go to school. I can't get education. I can't go to varsity. I can't get a job. So until I die, I'm on the grant.
Where do we find your articles?
On Eyewitness News. Was I supposed to say that?
Of course.
Oh. Because, my articles, I write for them currently.
Yes.
So you find my articles there.
And on socials, where do we see your work?
Right now, I just put them on my WhatsApp, but you can find them on the EWN, Twitter Spaces, and Facebook. It's where you find a lot of my work there.
We started with the matriarchs, right? If you were to give flowers to one, who?
My mother. Meola, my mother. I put that woman through hell, but she's still...
And this is before your disability.
This is before, as a...
So we must put that in there, that you were just a naughty child.
Yeah. Yes. I don't
want to
lie.
We're not even going to sugarcoat it and say she was curious. Naughty.
No, my mother never gave up on me. Had not been for my mother, I would have never matriculated. I had no interest in school. For someone who keeps going back to school now.
Yeah.
I had no interest in school. I wanted to play sports.
That's it.
I wanted to play sports. I didn't want to hear 1+1 kids and a guy namu. I wanted to play sports, and my mother would not give up on me. You know, and also the friends that I hanged out with were not a good influence. And my mother, you're the woman. Marak, I know, man. There are no words. I just hope that she knows how much I love her, and that I hope I'm making her proud.
Yeah.
She did the utmost. That woman fought for me in and she was like, you know, Pali, I know you love sports, but let's be realistic. You know, in South Africa, as a black woman, where is the sports gonna take you? Have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's always been that approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have an education. Have something to fall back on. And then we'll see afterwards. You know, but she still got me the hockey kits.
She still allowed you to do
to
that.
To go to the hockey camps. And you know, because we'd never car when I was growing up. And I went to a private school in town. My mother would walk me. Because let's say Kumbi from the school, was leaving at like 6 in the morning. At 3 in the morning, my mother and I would walk from the township to town.
We're going to pause it right there. She has a thing or two to say about the blind spot. This is DJ Palisa Manaling. That DJ doesn't mean she plays music.
Yeah, with Lala Diski.
That's right. Palesa, thank you.
Thank you.
For showing us, for teaching us, for no matter what life throws at you, and it renders you motionless, you can still move.
One day at a time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep shining, girl.
The best tea in the city, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to midday, on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.